Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Thursday. It is the 24th of February, 2022. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, as per tradition, I have Bob Levitis. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Kelly.
I am so glad you're here.
My favorite podcast hostess or host.
I'll take either one since I'm your favorite. I'll take it either
way. Identify.
So you are. Your column is called Rants and Raves. And sometimes we have raves, like last week's. Set app is awesome. And everyone should rush right out and sign up for it. This week is a little ranty.
Yes. Well, I felt that our sense of balance was kind of out of whack. I haven't ranted in a while. And
okay.
So, you know, this is a follow-up to a column I wrote in 2017 about my cloud home, which is at that time, it was a new network-attached storage device from Western Digital. Now, you may be wondering, what's a NAS? I know you personally know, but our listeners might not. So let me just say a NAS is network-attached storage, which is like Dropbox, Google Drive, iCloud Drive, other cloud-based storage services, except you own the device and there are no monthly service charges. Yeah. So it runs on your network and you possess the device. It's yours to do with what you will, right?
Yeah.
So, and you can only access your data on one of these via the internet. In other words, you can't plug, it doesn't have a USB port or a FireWire or anything that you can plug into your devices and directly move files to and from it. It only works on the internet, right?
Yeah.
Now, there's good and bad things about that. And at the time, I was really impressed. It was reasonably priced. It was easy to configure. It had lots of stuff it could do. And it was surprisingly full-featured for as little as it cost. Because until then, network storage devices were pricey and complicated. You know, they were a few hundred to thousands of dollars and not without a complication. It wasn't something you wanted to, like, you know, manage at home if you weren't a geek.
Sure.
So I recommended MyCloud Home without hesitation at the time, and I used it for personal network storage. And it performed well for years.
Okay.
But it became less and less reliable over the years. And the way it works is when it's working, its icon appears on your desktop just like any other local storage. And you can copy files to and from it just like it were a local disk, except it's a network disk. It's only there if you've got Wi-Fi or Ethernet, right?
Okay.
So all of a sudden, it stopped showing up on my desktop every once in a while. It would require me to launch an app and log in manually. That was annoying, but I was okay with it. You know, I began not to trust it and moved most of my files to a different cloud storage system.
Okay.
And everything was okay except for that until recently. Then last week, my cloud is having trouble connecting to the server. Check your internet connection and try again. I'd never seen that one before. So I checked my internet connection and guess what?
It was
250 down, 40 up, whatever. It was my normal speeds. And nothing else was giving me any trouble whatsoever. I could surf the internet. I could buy things and sell things. And everything worked fine. And speed test worked great. So it appears that Western Digital server is the problem here in this equation. So I tried for about a day and then I filed a bug report, you know, support report or request. And I explained to them that a network attached storage device is worthless if it can't connect to their server.
This is true.
Please help. Right. Yeah. And 6 days later, I was still waiting for help. After the fourth day, I sent another support request, and they have a little button you can, a little checkbox you can tick to escalate your issue. So I escalated my issue and received an automated reply that they would escalate my issue. And after 6 days, still nothing. Crickets.
Still?
Yeah. So on the sixth day,
Bob sat down and wrote an article.
I wrote the column, and I basically, no matter what happens now, I can't recommend WD. If you've got a storage product and you have to wait 6 days to just get an acknowledgement and an answer from their support people, that is unacceptable. And so, and to be fair, I can't log in, so I can't mount the icon for the My Home device on my desktop.
Yeah.
But I can access my files in a web browser, and I can access them with an iOS app.
Okay.
But that's inconvenient. It's like if that were all it would let me do, I would never have gotten one in the first place.
Well,
the idea for me is
not doing what you wanted it to do. Like that.
It's not doing what I bought it for.
What it's for. Right.
And so I got it because it behaves like a directly connected storage device, except when it doesn't, right?
Yeah.
And managing files through a web browser, I don't know how to say this kindly on a family show. It just sucks. So
that's pretty kind, so that's fine.
Okay, that was, that was really holding back. Yes. But the point is, 6 days without a response is just unacceptable in the case of a mission-critical product like a storage device. And waiting a week to hear from support is just unconscionable.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure other storage vendors are any better, but I can't imagine they could be any worse.
Yeah.
Caveat emptor.
Yeah, if you need it to be working, you know, that's important. So
yes.
Yeah.
I have a PS, and I'm not going to write about this again. So you, our listeners, are the exclusive recipients of this follow up information. Ready?
Okay.
On the seventh day, I heard from them.
Really?
I got a phone call and an email.
Okay.
And they said basically we tried to call you and failed, and I got a voicemail.
Okay.
And they said respond to this and tell us when you'll be available at this number and we'll call you back.
Okay.
Which I've done three times now and never received a return call.
They're still not actually calling you.
We're on our 11th day now. And I'm going on vacation tomorrow for a week.
Yeah.
So I sent them a final note and said, please call me on, you know, a week from tomorrow, anytime between 9 and noon. We'll see. But if I were a betting man, I would bet money I will not hear from them at that time.
Same.
Maybe they're listening to this and I've shamed them into calling me, but I don't think so.
Yeah, that seems pretty unlikely. So,
well, and I'm going to, you know, I have to say, not that I think other storage vendors are going to be that much better, but after this, I'm going to avoid Western Digital storage products because sometimes they break and you need help.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can't repair the inside of a spinning disk. I don't have those skills.
Yeah.
If it breaks, I need them to fix it. So, I guess I'll just buy other brands of disc for a while. We'll see what happens with this. I will write a follow up as soon as, you know, I know what the what the outcome is. But until then, I'm not gonna say I heard from them, but they couldn't get a hold of me, and I couldn't get a hold of them. So we're gonna have to wait another week.
Yeah.
But our listeners now know the whole story up to the story up till now.
Well, good.
So that's it. How was that? Was that a rant or what?
It was.
That was a world-class rant.
It was
a world-class rant.
Hobbled by the fact that this is a family show, and so we weren't. So you weren't allowed to be quite as accurate as you desired. However, I do want to, because I don't want to just leave people with that, right? So we're going to talk about some alternatives, and first, I'm going to take a minute and talk about our sponsor this week, who is Thesis. Now, if you're procrastinating on something by listening to this show, or if you just sometimes have a hard time getting started with the thing that you're doing, let alone getting it done, Thesis is here to help. Thesis makes personalized supplement formulas, and they're based on the science of nootropics, which is natural and all natural, powerful ingredients. So you go take their quiz, and then Thesis will recommend the formula that's customized just for you. I've tried them, and it's actually been pretty helpful. So over 60,000 other people have also used Thesis for better results, and you can too. Right now, Thesis is offering my listeners 10% off your first starter kit when you visit takethesis.com/TDO. Go to takethesis.com/TDO, take the quiz, and discover your unique nootropic formula and save 10% on your first starter kit. That's takethesis.com/TDO. Make sure to use that URL and let them know we sent you. And I'd like to thank Thesis for sponsoring the show today. Now, the other alternatives for if you have one of these that is failing, or if you are now in the market for network attached storage, which is just basically, you know, a hard drive that you access over Wi-Fi, basically, like in concept, that's all it is. So you can buy something called a NAS or a NAS unit, which is sort of has a lightweight computer in it. It'll have a web interface that you can use to manage some of the services that it will offer. Like sometimes they will offer like iTunes sharing, and you can do everything. You know, you can play all of your iTunes music, but have it on a hard drive across the network instead of having it all locally on your computer. You can also, you know, there's things like that that you can use as part of that device. You can also buy something that's called JBOD or JBOD, which stands for just a bunch of disks.
I love that name.
Which is great. JBOD.
It sounds so techie.
It sounds just super nerdy. Yeah, just like a POTS, plain old telephone system. So you can get one of those, which is just a box, and it'll have an IP address, and that's it. You generally have to hook that up to something else, whether it's hang it off, you know, the back of a Mac Mini, or you add a Raspberry Pi to manage some of that stuff. You know, you can make that happen. The two most common names, they're not sponsors or anything like that, but the two names that I know the most for people who are not network administrators and do not wish to become them in their spare time, the two names I know the most for, if you need to have something at your house, you have a lot of things that all want to back up to Time Machine, and you want to do Time Machine across the wireless network because you never plug anything in, that kind of stuff, they are QNAP, QNAP, and then Synology, Synology. Those are the two that I know a lot of people have gotten and said, you know, now that I do all my, you know, now that I'm home all the time, you know, it's like I have the opportunity to back up across my Wi-Fi network, and I just got one of these and I stuck it in the closet and gave it an Ethernet cable, and now I can back up to it over the Wi-Fi from my machine. And so I always have a Time Machine backup, you know, and that's one of them that I use, you know, as you and I always bang the backup drum. So that's what my setup is right now. I have a Wi-Fi, I have a NAS that I use for my Time Machine backups, and it works for my computer and my other computer and Mr. Kelly's computer. And we're all able to do it completely wirelessly and have a solid Time Machine backup that lives there. Then there are other backup methods, of course, if you want to, you know, and if you want to have it so that you can access the music on it, or you have a bunch of pictures and you want to be able to see them on your Apple TV and things like that, you can set things up so that that's a thing that happens.
So in my original note, in my original, whatever you call it, when I filed my complaint, yes, my first one, uh-huh, it said, the last sentence was, I'm shopping for a reliable NAS now, like a Synology. But until then, can you tell me when I might be able to use my iCloud home, again? Mm-hmm. I've been locked out of my data now for almost a day. So it's funny that you should say that, because really I'm thinking, you know, if I really want a NAS, I'm getting one from a different vendor, and Synology was the one that came to mind for me, partly because our old friend Dave Hamilton, mm-hmm, who I understand is in Mexico eating fish or something,
yeah,
this week,
something like that. Yeah,
but yeah, he's on vacation eating fish. I don't know. I saw something about fish. Anyway, he talks about Synology in loving terms. I mean, almost, you know, all the time, mm-hmm, regularly, yeah, on his podcast.
Yeah.
So That's the one I'm familiar with, and if I were going to go out and buy one to replace the my cloud home thing that doesn't work anymore and still doesn't work really to this day. We're on day like 13 now, or 12. But anyway, if I were going to replace it, I think I would look at a Synology.
And here's what's nice about those is if you get a NAS where you have multiple spots for hard drives, first of all, the box itself is going to be a couple hundred dollars, maybe a few hundred dollars. It depends on how much you think you need to spend. But the thing to know is that it doesn't go obsolete very quickly. So you're spending that money on the box, but you're going to be able to use it for a really long time. It's not something you have to trade in, you know, a year from now for a new version or anything like that. And then however many drives you put in it is how much space you have. So they manage the storage. I'm not going to give people a crash course in RAID arrays or any of that, but you can put the drives in, and the way the file system on the drives is structured, if something happens, so you have four drives in there, say you buy one that has four bays, you put a drive in each slot, then if it starts telling you one of the drives is going bad, you pull it out and you put in a new one and it goes, cool, give me a minute. And then it recovers itself and goes, okay, everything's better now. Yes. And you didn't lose any data when you did that. That's the magic of having a NAS. So
that's only partly because QNAPs don't exactly do that. You've got to have the exact same size drives on. Last time I looked at QNAP devices, they required all the same size drives. With Synology and Drobo also, you can put any size drive in as long as it's as big as or bigger than the one it's going to replace.
Yeah.
Plus, it doesn't automatically format your disk that way.
You have to choose that level of RAID. But it is a thing that you can do.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's a good thing to do on a drive, you know, on a big drive that you're going to have a lot of data on.
Right.
It's fault tolerance. It means if one drive out of the four fails, you're still okay.
You're okay. Yeah. I think with the QNAP, it's pairs now, but I don't quite remember.
I'm not sure.
I put great big ones in mine and just move on with my life, so it's fine. Because I don't want to mess around with it, so I just, you know, when there's a deal, I buy a couple extra, and then that way I always have one that's, you know, ready to go. So
there's another conversation for another time. Do you buy network attached storage rated drives?
Yeah. I do.
You do.
They're enterprise grade.
See, and I buy the crappiest, cheapest drives I can and put them in there because I figure they're all going to fail anyway.
I know. So mine don't come from the dollar store.
Why get the?
Yeah. I'm also not going to spend a bunch of time talking about how reliable it is because I don't want to jinx it. So we'll just stop right there.
Well, that's a whole different show. We'll have to postpone that for another time.
Yes. The NAS conversation is definitely one you should consider. It may not be the right answer for you, but it's certainly a question to ask. So that said, that's going to do it for us today. So Bob, as always, thank you so much for coming by. I'm always excited to have you on the show. You are a lovely guest.
It's always my pleasure.
So glad you're here. Now, if you want to find out more, you can always email us observations@macobserver.com, TMO daily on Twitter, or leave comments in the show notes. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. Let's be careful out there.